At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is August 28th, 2024. We are fresh off the heels of AEW All In. We are just ahead of WWE Bash in Berlin. If you're here, leave a thumbs up. Let's take a roll call. Tell us you're here. Drop a fruit emoji, a super chat, a humper chat to get your questions or statements in. We got Alex Pawlowski here. Alex, how are you?
Good. But uneasy.
That didn't sound convincing.
Overall, I'm good, but I'm uneasy. I don't know how we're gonna have to like scramble some fighter jets, alert the Joint Chiefs, maybe get the Justice League involved. Pissed off Mox like recruiting people to his Legion of Doom is a very scary thing right now for me.
So we're going to talk about that. We're going to give you a whole lot of behind-the-scenes news, a lot of exclusive news, all that good stuff. The exclusive news courtesy of FightfulSelect.com. I know some of you may say, why on earth would I ever pay for wrestling news? Because you're getting it from the best place on earth, FightfulSelect.com. Just $5 a month, $54 a year. I do a Q&A show every week that kind of recaps all of the news we break. I do a Discord where I answer all your questions, and you can ask questions about the stories that we break. This week, WWE heavy after a big AEW week. Last week, we confirmed the Ricochet signing, that Sting was headed to All In, that Jamie Hayter was returning. If you were in our Discord moments before, you saw Nigel was going to come out. That is, of course, if you like stuff like that. Anything spoiler related, we do a pretty good job of covering up over there, but we had a bunch of exclusive news about tonight's show as well. So if you don't mind, $5 a month supports us in such a nice way. I know there's lots of aggregators out there and all that, but support original work. And another way you can do that is by sending a super chat or a humper chat like these wonderful fellas did. Super chats here at youtube.com/Fightful. Humper chats over at humperchats.com. This week, it's a busy week. Interviews with Nick Nemeth ahead of TNA Emergence, which sold out. Mojo, the former Mojo Rawley, ahead of the Black Label Pro Wrestler Combine, which I'm going to cover next week. Maven on Friday, as he will be hosting that. And David Finley, as well ahead of New Japan Capital Collision. It is a loaded weekend of wrestling. Let's jump right into it. Enough of the plugs. We kicked off this show with a surprising appearance, Alex, by John Moxley.
Yes.
Fightful had a little bit of news today here on Fightful Select because a lot of people were saying, well, where was he? Why wasn't he there with Bryan Danielson celebrating? What gives? I feel like there's a bit of a story at play with all of this. Fightful Select reported he did not make the trip to London.
Right.
He was chilling at Pro Wrestling Revolver.
Right.
Which had a bit of a Fight Club type of show this weekend, which seems to work pretty well considering the fact that he just conspicuously seemed to recruit Marina Shafir later in the evening. We will get to that, but I just want your initial thoughts on this surprise Mox appearance, which, you know, those don't happen much because he's usually always on the show.
Right. Also, you know, he comes out and it's not Wild Thing. It's his Death Rider theme from New Japan.
New Japan theme.
Right. So, like, that immediately is a different thing. And then the way he comes out, he's not, like, Mox is always generally pissed off, but sometimes it's like a pissed off to, like, fire up the crowd. And sometimes it's just, like, seething with rage underneath the surface that it might bubble up at any time and he might murder somebody.
I do like
the second one.
I like that effectively Tony's like, listen, I got to pay for one Oasis song, so I can't use Elton John, can't use Wild Thing. Ruby Soho got pregnant just in time to where I don't have to pay Rancid for a while. Like, all of that because of Nigel McGuinness. But John Moxley comes out and he took issue with Darby Allin first and foremost. Mm-hmm. Didn't exactly say, expand on that too much outside of, he's got his issues. But as he leaves, he goes back to Tony Schiavone and looks. And Tony Schiavone was confused to even be in the ring to begin with.
Right.
But he's like, this isn't going to make sense for a lot of people. It might take some time for you to wrap your little brains around it. But this isn't your company anymore. And he looked at Tony Schiavone.
Does he think that all Tonys are the same Tony?
Yes.
Because Tony Khan is the guy in charge. Not Tony Schiavone. It's a different guy. But it's not Tony Schiavone. It's Tony Schiavone. He's a different dude. But him calling out Darby Allin specifically, but them not getting to anything with Darby Allin today, knowing that Darby Allin has the guaranteed title shot at Grand Slam versus whoever wins from this match we're having it all out, which we'll talk about later. Specifically, Darby is I guess interesting, but whatever they're doing with Mox is a long-term deal. This is not just them. I don't like Darby Allin. This feels like Darby Allin represents something I don't like type of deal. I will be seated for whatever is going on with John Moxley going forward. That dude I have all the confidence in the world in that guy to make whatever this is work. It's a little confusing now because we're only being given breadcrumbs. I think we'll look back on this night in a couple of months' time, maybe around a full gear, and be like, oh, it makes so much sense now. I think that they'll do that. But right now, I honestly don't know where this is going.
John Moxley, not on the All In card, but immediately there following All In. Surprising to you?
Well, we knew he was taking time off. I feel like...
But we're talking like the matter of a few days. Like, they could have had him show up as a surprise to do literally anything.
Sure, but I think that you want all that stuff wrapped up from All In. And then what the next thing we do after we got a brand new champion, we've got all this stuff that's kind of being wrapped up from All In, the next thing we do, the very first thing we do after the biggest show of the year, it's basically like kicking off the Raw after WrestleMania. We're like, okay, a guy we know and love and have missed is back, and he's got a whole different persona going, and it's really intriguing. We don't know where it's going, so hopefully this gets you to tune in and find out more about what Mox has up its sleeve, because right now we honestly don't know.
So backstage, we see John Moxley approach just somebody standing around, an extra, obviously.
Yeah.
But there, he's asked, like, what does he mean? Mm-hmm. What was it he said? Something about casting pearls?
So, yeah, casting pearls before swine.
There you go.
Which is an old, like, you don't deserve what I'm about to tell you. In this case, why would you feed pearls to a pig? Is basically
the Bible
verse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So why would you feed pearls to a pig? Why would I tell you anything? You don't deserve these morsels of knowledge I'm going to provide you with. Later, all will be known. But for now, here's Marina Shafir's ridiculously muscled back to destroy a bunch of guys.
Am I alone in that I had no idea who it was until she revealed her face?
I didn't know. I had no idea who it could have been. I thought for a second it might have been Mercedes Martinez, just because, you know what I mean? But we haven't seen her in such a long time. I have no idea what's going on with her. But then all of a sudden it was like, oh, it was Maria Shafir. Oh, I've heard really interesting stuff about her work in ROH. So I'm Moxley handpicking Marina Shafir, to me, like, says volumes about what she's going to be able to do for this faction in the women's division. I'm very excited.
The fact that so many people thought it was Beth Phoenix speaks. That is an ultimate compliment for Marina Shafir, who I'm pretty sure uses mace bells nonstop as she trains. And yeah, man, listen, I'm a geek for that type of wrestling. I know that Jon Moxley is as well. Yeah. So I'm excited for it. Crazy 101 said Shane's about to come in and start AEW Underground.
No.
Oh, man.
No. Please.
Kane Horn says, is Mox out of BCC? Well, I think that's what they want you to sort of pose the question about, as Phil of Grapsody, who is going to be on the SmackDown post show this week, has noted a few things. He's like, well, one, first off, Mox is the only member of BCC that was not there to celebrate with Brian.
Mm-hmm, right.
He was replaced with Pac, but he says the last time Mox was champion, Brian sided with the guy who cost him the title as well. So I think that this is to make you go, well, is this the end of him in BCC? Right. Has Pac?
Right.
Like, I don't think these things were unintentional whatsoever. I think were all calculated.
No, this is part of a grander scheme.
Matty Nice says, wrestling makes sense to me. Like, I guess things that happen easy, but I'm lost at this Mox story. Well, listen, I will say this. Wrestling, especially AEW, does really good when there's a big question mark around a story.
Yeah.
Who or what? What are they talking about? Who are they talking about? Listen, people can, in retrospect, pretend like the devil thing wasn't interesting. People were gripped on that. People wanted to know who the devil was.
Especially,
absolutely.
Especially early on.
Yeah.
Like that the first attack on Jay White in the hallway, like, people were like, what the hell is this? You know, like, that became a thing people really wanted to know. As it went on and people kind of like, okay, I definitely know it's Adam Cole kind of stuff. Maybe it waned. But at the beginning, people were really into it. So I'm willing to let it play out as I've been told to do many, many times.
Tim McFall says, Murder Inc. featuring Mox and Marina does make my heart feel good, or my heel heart good. Ricochet Fletcher was for other body parts, as was Red-Haired Hater, Mariah, and Kinky Danny with his fetishes. This was a horny episode. Well, listen, if they rename themselves Murder Inc., then their theme song has to start with Irv Gotti, no shit, every time. And then Ashanti has to be featured.
Sure.
On every track. That's just
right. Yeah.
It's just the way that it works.
Yep.
James Stalling says, this episode of Dynamite was amazing. You can feel AEW catching fire. I'm extremely excited. Love you guys. Well, by God, we love you too. Mm-hmm. And yeah, listen, you always want them to restore that feeling. I mean, they are getting closer to that TV deal. It is so FightfulSelect.com today had a very expansive update for just $5 a month. And there were, it's funny, I use that term, because last week when I did the reporting on it, I had been told the deal was extensive. I was given some clarification from WBD on that. It is literally extensive. The deal is hundreds of pages long. So it's going to take some time to get through. But Steven says, is Mox starting an outsiders NWO type angle? That was the vibe that the first, like the first line that he gave, or the last line he gave to Shivani was.
Yeah.
But with Marina Shafir involved, I don't know. Initially, everybody is immediately going to think, oh, well, he wants to do some like shooter's stable, which sort of was the premise of Blackpool Combat Club, like sort of.
Right. I just think he wants to get a bunch of ass kickers around him so they can kick ass. That's kind of like, you know, his deal. I'm looking forward to seeing what it is.
Lupongi Vice has any idea how much Brisbane Grand Slam tickets are going to be? Signed up for that sweet pre-sale. Flights are relatively cheap. It's a sign. I do not have any insight on sale dates, on how much tickets will be. I have long said that if I were AEW personally, while WWE is a white hot expensive ticket, make yourself a hot, more affordable ticket for a family. Get as many asses in the seats as possible.
Yep.
That's what you should do. Coy Solling says, Rubes, they really do be watching. LMAO, much love, guys. Hope things get better. Sean, thank you so much for the kind words, and all of you that had very kind words for myself and my family over the last week. Zach Schimmel says, one more month for 3 years as a Fightful YouTube member. Much love to Fightful. I can see All Out doing what it did last year. We're going to be a solid card. Yes. Alex, we're going to get to them individually, but they very clearly had things planned before All In, like Hayter and Saraya, MJF and Daniel Garcia. They had things prepared. They had the pack title shot. Like, they had a lot of things ready. This wasn't like, okay, now we got to rush out a card immediately.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
They had already set the dominoes up to knock them over.
Yes, I agree. There's still some stuff to be formally announced, but I feel like we've got a good idea where a lot of this is going to go. All Out is shaping up to be a really fun card with a lot of great stuff to watch.
We got Hangman Page defeating Tomohiro Ishii. This was a very, very good match. Like, listen, Ishii, when I started to cover New Japan, it took a while for me to adapt to love Ishii's work. And then when I got it, man. Like, there's some of it that it took me longer, and I was like, you know what? I wonder if it would transfer to American TV. It worked out pretty well for that guy, and he's like 234 years old. They really put over Ishii on commentary, too. They're like, listen, Hangman Page won this match. They're like, but 50 out of 100 times, Ishii's probably winning this match.
Right.
I mean, this was not much I can say besides a fantastic match, and we'll talk about that before we talk about the promo.
Yeah, I'm surprised these dudes don't just come away with broken jaws. Like, they're just they're throwing absolute bombs up around their face. I love Ishii's work. Stone Pitbull is such a wonderful name for him. It's so evocative and true. And Paige is doing amazing work. When he entered the gauntlet and just wrecked literally everybody waiting around for somebody else to come out so he could pin that person, like, he was doing such great work in that too. We'll talk about it in this little promo afterwards. The nuance he's putting into his character is something that I have been longing for in wrestling for years, and I'm so excited to watch more of this, because every time he's doing something with his character work, he shows me a new facet that I didn't even consider before. That is so compelling. But his in-ring work is all in service of this character. Everything he does, every decision he makes in ring is part of the character work. It's such great stuff. This was really hard hitting, so solid, told a great story, and the Page winning was a pretty great thing too.
Tom LaValle says Ishii still commentator of the year. This match was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then Swerve Strickland comes out, and it gets even better.
Yeah.
There are some feuds that I just don't get tired of in the history of my life.
Yeah.
Sting and Flair always brought it. 10 years down the line, they brought it. And when they closed out Nitro, it was very sentimental for me. Mm-hmm. Shawn Michaels and Triple H, it felt like they had been feuding for years. By the time the end of 2003 rolled around, they did their random ass match. Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, they ever go back to it, it's always good. They found it with Hangman and Swerve. Like, there could be they could not touch for a year, and then Tony announces cold, hey, next week on Dynamite, for no apparent reason, we're going to do this, and people are going to go, oh, shit.
Yeah.
So, Swerve, I love this approach, because everybody knows why Hangman did what he did at All In. Because he doesn't want Swerve to be champion. And Swerve knows that too. He's like, I know your motivation. You think that you did something to me, and you did cost me that championship, but you can't erase the fact that I was a champion. You can't take that away from me. I will always be a champion now. And Hangman flips out. He's like, you're not a champion. You're not a world champion. He's like, you could never even beat me. He's like, you're a piece of shit. And he not only did he remember specifically that Swerve couldn't beat him by himself, he remembered the method. They've got not much of a reason to ever reference the fact that Brian Cage was ever with Swerve anymore. But Hangman Page ain't letting that go. He's like, it was Nana, then it was Nana and Cage. Then you couldn't get the job done. And that's Hangman's right. He's right. Just like Drew McIntyre was right about CM Punk. Mm-hmm. Just like, listen, you can look at Judgment Day and go, well, you know, there's a lot of assholes in this situation. You can look at a guy and go, yeah, I get it. And then Swerve shows you again why Hangman is right. But that's the thing. Hangman is sitting there beating everybody over the head saying, I'm not the crazy one. He's talking about stalking myself and my pregnant wife. Oh, by the way,
right,
of whom Swerve doxed. So, surprise, guys. When I had reported that Hangman Page was taking time off and it was contractually obligated, obviously, I am not going to out the fact that a man has paternity leave because that's his business to reveal.
Yeah.
I'm told, like, you know, Hangman, this was kept very quiet. Kept very quiet up until the time that he left, and then people there kind of knew. But it had went completely under the radar for months. Like, nobody knew that Hangman had a second child until Swerve Strickland talks about it on worldwide television.
Yeah.
Shocker, guys. That's why Hangman was gone for several months. They always knew, as FightfulSelect.com reported, how long exactly he would be out. And, oh, by the way, they're doing a cage match.
Yes.
Alex, I have talked for a very long time.
Yeah.
I believe it is your turn to talk.
I love Swerve coming out first. I thought for sure after Hangman beat Ishii, he'd get a mic and he'd be like, Swerve, you get your ass out here right now. And then Swerve would come out. But Swerve comes out first because Swerve isn't afraid of anybody. Swerve has something to say to Hangman. And he comes out and he's like, you think you did something, but you didn't do anything, you know? Like, yeah, you cost me my title. But that doesn't matter because I'm going to be getting that back sometime soon. But no matter what you do, you can never take away that I am a world champion. I will always be a world champion. And Hangman's response caught himself off guard, which I loved. Because it's always been... You broke into my house and you threatened my child. My wife does not feel safe in our home, so we had to move. Like, this was going to be the house I was going to raise my family in. We had to move because you made my wife feel unsafe. I hate you. I must destroy you. But it's not just about that, is it, Hangman? Because he says, you couldn't beat me. You couldn't beat me because Hangman may be a father and a husband and a man who feels violated by that invasion of privacy, but also he's a wrestler. He's a very proud professional wrestler. You couldn't beat me. You couldn't. First it was Nana, then it was Nana and Cage, and then when you're having the triple threat, you couldn't get the job done. You're not better than me. And he pauses and his breath catches a little bit. And this is what I'm talking about, the nuance of the performance of Hangman Page. He recognizes for the first time himself in that moment. Well, wait a minute. That's not what this is supposed to be about. But the fact that it came out with such force and he wasn't able to stop it means that that is actually maybe what this is about more than anything else. And so after that, when Strickland says, this is who you want to be, man. You want to be a family man. You should go be a family man. Not only who are you going to be, what kind of man are you going to be in that cage? What kind of a man are you going to show to your wife and your kids? And that tactic, Hangman's got no answer for. He has to go and think about what's going on here. Because maybe... he hasn't been truthful with himself about what all of this actually is. Yeah, he's pissed off about the home invasion. Who wouldn't be? But maybe he's more pissed off because he knows he's better than Swerve and he has to get him in the ring one more time to prove it to everybody, but also to himself. The layers of all of this is just onions upon onions upon onions.
FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, reported this match was actually supposed to happen last year. They had originally planned a late 2023 cage match between Swerve and Hangman. If you go back and watch the interview I did with Swerve in person earlier this year, he alludes to that, and he mentions there was supposed to be more, but after the Texas Death Match, they're like, what possibly could we do
right? Do much more than that.
What could we do? DNC Digital says, Dan, that was a beautiful breakdown of that. This feud is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. I mentioned the other night on Raw, and it wasn't me picking on Raw. I feel like wrestling of late has leaned into family too much, to the point to where I'm like, We get it. Everybody's got a family. They're using it as a crutch. Mm-hmm. This is an example of when it is used appropriately, right, in my opinion.
Yeah,
it's phenomenal. Tim McFall says, Swerve Hangman has become the defining feud of AEW. As great as the roster is, everyone is orbiting, and these two are the main characters. It's absolute gold. It is gold. It is phenomenal. It's phenomenal. CC Bonbon says, what would you want to see on the WWE Vault channel? Well, I need to be like, for full transparency, I don't know what all they have footage of. considering the unfortunate loss of this week of Sid, he did some dark matches with Vader. Yeah. I would love that. In fact, in looking this up a while back, I saw that back-to-back nights, he had a dark match against Vader, and then it was Sid and Undertaker against Austin and Vader in a dark match. I'm assuming they just left the cameras rolling for that. But also, there's always stuff that I would look back and see, like Owen Hart versus Shawn Michaels in dark matches in 93, and like Brett and Randy Savage against Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels that would go like 20 minutes long. Yeah. Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker teaming up like in dark matches in the mid-90s. They would do weird stuff. Like Brett and Shawn would team up in 95 for dark matches. Like, there's lots of cool stuff that I think they could kind of go and unveil. I've asked Drew McIntyre about that Nasty Boys match like a number of times. And he's like, man, I've done my best to forget about it. And you can tell by the way he introed it. And it was so funny. They clearly lied about being in shape. Took that dark match and just whooped his ass for 5 minutes. And then screwed up their own finish and called him a piece of shit. Phenomenal. Nasty Boys are legends. Legends. Irene says, Swerve versus Hangman becoming one of my signature feuds in AEW's, or one of these signature feuds in AEW's early history. Amazing layered storytelling, top tier in-ring action. Yeah, and I mean, like, listen, Cody, integral part of AEW, not there anymore. CM Punk, who was a major part of some feuds there, not there anymore. These two guys are going to be there for years to come, as Swerve has signed a new long-term deal, and Fightful, FightfulSelect.com reported it's a big ass deal. It's a big deal. He still had until March on that contract, but
yeah,
you know what? If I were a betting man, oh wait, I am.
Whoa, you can bet on wrestling? Yeah, you can at BetOnline.ag. We've given you a bunch of underdog picks over at Fightful since we started to work with BetOnline.ag, but well before they were a partner, that's where we got our odds from for years. Whether it be major shows or your continental classics and other things like that, they always have a bunch of interesting odds for you over at BetOnline.ag. But it's not just that. Payouts in minutes, high credit card acceptance, a safe and secure environment, and they've been trusted for over 25 years. They got the earliest lines, the fastest payouts, and the ability to bet on wrestling. How cool is that? If you think you know so much about this, go put your money down. Go do it. Show the world. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can. BetOnline.ag.
Rob Wilkins will be doing the WWE Bash in Berlin prediction show on Thursday. Please check that out. We always have betting tips on the Fightful Select Discord. Right now, monster favorites. I mean huge favorites. LA Knight to win any U.S. title match that he'll be in. Gunther and Cody Rhodes are big-time favorites. A little bit closer on the odds, Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley are favorites, which it's hard for me to believe they'll lose that one. And CM Punk is a pretty sizable favorite. But the closest line is the Women's Tag Team Championship match, Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill against Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. I think Alba and Isla have been doing good when given the opportunity, but to me, this seems very much like a Bianca and Jade take it back. But just dropped our interview with Jade Cargill today here on Fightful, of which she agrees there's probably room on that door for Jack and Rose. Important information there. Although a valued source hit me up and said, you know, I watch a lot of Titanic stuff, And James Cameron got so mad that he did a documentary about why it wasn't plausible. And listen, my wife is also a Titanic buff. Like, I've, I know far more about it than I should. Listening to him do interviews about Ocean Gate is sincerely some of the most entertaining programming ever. Oh my God. He just buries it. Just buries like why they even went down there. Unreal. Wow. Anyway, BetOnline AG exists, guys. Check them out. Oh my gosh. I want to thank our moderator, Luis, who really did a great job for All In, and he's got the weekend off. Drew will be filling in for him. But we got Coy Stallings says, Hanger, one of the top two characters in wrestling, and he ain't number two. My favorite wrestler in any company. He's perpetually interesting, Alex. He's deep.
Like, and there's just so much to what he's doing here. And there was so much to what he was doing before. That feud he had with Mox, where he had that amazing promo about how, like, I'm depressed, I'm an alcoholic, the meds aren't working, but I keep coming back, but it's because it's all I can do, because I am a man. Like, and you absolutely understand how that guy, having the thing that Swerve did done to him and his family, would then transition into being this guy. Like, everything is connected with that guy. There's no mistakes in how he presents his character.
CC Bonbon says, is JBL out? Are Legends deals over with now? No, Legends deals are not over with. They are still actively signing people to Legends deals. Jesse Ventura just revealed on Chris Van Vliet's show he's closing in on one. JBL is just doing his thing now. I mean, he's out there taking some bookings. I don't know if he's going to wrestle for GCW. I was told it wasn't necessarily off the table. But DNC Digital says, are they 98 Rock H or 01 Rock Austin? Do you mean for the rivalry?
Yeah.
The rivalry?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I'd put it more towards Rock Austin. I think they're that. Yeah. I think they're incredible.
Yeah.
I think they're
this is the thing. The steel cage match ain't it. That's not the end of this. This is gonna continue. This is not like, let's build to a big match at Mania and then that's that. I don't know when this ends, but if the answer is 5 years from now, I would not be surprised.
Yes. Also, Stone Cold Steve Austin has a whole bunch of dark matches that, if filmed, I would have loved to have seen as well. And I mean, just like, I remember reading the match results when I was a kid, and it would be like Legion of Doom, Austin, and Undertaker against DX and Kane. Like, oh my God, give me that. Jamie Hayter whipped Harley Cameron's ass. I want to say this because this is largely focused on Jamie Hayter. Harley Cameron got kind of thrown into the fire, and she has become a really good TV performer. And she's not a person right now that you expect to see in any title scene or anything like that. In fact, right now she is serving as like that bridge to get to Saraya,
right?
For Jamie Hayter. But Harley Cameron has had like 36 matches, Alex.
Yeah.
36 matches. And about a dozen of them have been over the last 4 months on television.
Right.
So I take my hat off to Harley Cameron, because if you put her in a match like this, she is going to do her job. She makes Jamie look good. Doesn't take a lot to make Jamie look good. One of my favorite parts of this match was as Jamie is whipping Harley's ass. Under his breath, Taz goes, live around Jones here, which is really good. But Jamie gets the win, stares down Saraya. I'd imagine we're headed there for All Out.
Yeah, I would think that's the match for All Out, like a proper match. That should be good. It's really good to have Jamie Hayter back. Once she's back in the full swing of things, that's somebody that needs to be in a program with Mariah May or Mercedes Moné, one of the two. She like they said, held the title for like almost 200 days when she was the champion. And it's so good to have her back. She looks phenomenal. As you said, Harley Cameron's been doing really, really excellent work in their matches on Rampage that I've been watching as part of the Sour Grap show on Fridays. She had a really excellent match with Nyla Rose a few weeks back. I think that she's only going to improve. Her character work is fantastic. So I'm looking forward to what Harley Cameron will be in another year or so.
Yeah, she's doing great. Multi-talented as well. Very, very good. Meet Norma says, Jamie Hayter versus Camille, take my money. I think that's the direction a lot of people expected that to go in, but it doesn't seem like Jamie is going to work her way into the Brit stuff right now. Thomas Sandberg says, give Harley Cameron her own entrance music. Listen, for the amount that AEW has to pay, I understand why many people do not want to use Falling in Reverse, and I completely understand it. Mm-hmm. So, I'll just cut off an sentence and say, yeah, give Harley Cameron her own, yes, her own theme. Here's the thing that I respect about this, Alex. Jamie Hayter doesn't forget.
No.
Because the Outcasts were directly involved in her losing her world championship a year and a half ago. And the landscape looks completely different. And this is a situation where even Saraya would be like, I mean, we don't even think about the Outcasts anymore. And Jamie's like, I haven't stopped thinking about the Outcasts.
Yeah.
I love that. Matthew Hook says, we need an all-women's AEW pay-per-view with the roster. You know, instead of an all-women's pay-per-view, I wouldn't doubt that one day they'd do like an all-women's Battle of the Belts or something like that to kind of try it out, maybe, or something like that. I
mean, you have the TBS title. As long as Willow or Stat holds the CMLL title, that's a thing. Mm-hmm. You have the connection to Strong. If at any point Mercedes drops that to somebody, that's another one you could defend, as long with AEW Women's Championship. And how about an all-women's casino gauntlet match? Like, let's figure out a way to do that. You could easily put together a really fun two-hour show, especially if they wind up on some streaming service where you're doing more pay-per-views than, you know, eight a year or whatever it is. One of them could be shorter, doesn't have to have 15 matches on it, and you could do an excellent AEW all-women show. You could.
We have the MJF promo where he denounces America outside of Long Island. And this was just, you know, basic, if you thought that I liked you, I didn't like you, actually, stuff. I laughed obnoxiously when he's like, and if Daniel Garcia ever shows his then he gets his ass whipped before he can finish the sentence.
Yes.
Daniel Garcia gets in, chokes out MJF. The MJF sell of this was fantastic. It's amazing. Just like you would see in an MMA fight where you just go limp and it's like you fall in sections until your head hits the mat. Daniel Garcia goes to do a pile driver and then says, no, I think I'm going to pile drive him off the second rope like he did to me. And security breaks it up, featuring Joe Alonso, who Fightful interviewed recently. He also was the one who noped out of the Jon Moxley appearance, which was great.
That was very funny.
And he is, I'll say this, guys, go back and check out that interview with Joe Alonso. He is every bit as entertaining as that segment.
Yeah.
Daniel Garcia, I felt like really, he got the biggest pop of his career for doing this. Phenomenal wrestler who gets pops for dancing and taking a mask off.
Right.
How'd you feel about his?
Everybody was hoping Daniel Garcia would come back and get his, you know, get his revenge on MJF. What a brilliant use of that attack, putting out Daniel Garcia when he holds Garcia's face toward the cameras, he's all bleeding. This is your boy. Yes, Daniel Garcia is all of our boy. He is one of the guys that we, as a, I think, as a collective, AEW fans have been rooting for. That's what they did such a great job with him in the C2 last year. He came so close to winning all of those matches and didn't get one. And when he finally got one, when he beat Brody King, that was the beginning of a whole FTR and Daniel Garcia versus House of Black feud. Like everybody, and when he finally, he won that feud by hitting the pile driver on Malakai Black. Like we've always been rooting for this guy. And so he gets that close to getting the international title, and MJF attacks him, puts him out, and when he finally comes back to get his revenge, this was an amazing moment at All In. This was great here too. The All Out match is going to be amazing. I feel like this is a really, really good way to have us rooting for Daniel Garcia against MJF, the big heel. This can be an extended kind of a thing because it's not going to end after one match, I can assure you. So that's a way of keeping MJF busy in a really hot feud that doesn't need to revolve around any of the titles. But I did like he says, when you are at your safest, at your apex, Will Ospreay, that's when I'm going to come back for you. Not before. When you are riding as high as you will, that's when I'm going to cut you out from the knees. I thought MJF did a great job with this too. But Garcia, adding the detail of, because I don't, like, this, maybe you can provide more details on this. MJF tweeted, somebody stole my diamond ring. And then he mentioned tonight. And then he mentioned tonight, I lost my diamond ring, I lost my title, I lost everything. And Garcia's in-canon thing is, I stole it from you, and then yes. I pawned it at a Buffalo pawn shop so I could get a ticket to fly to London to ruin your life.
I can tell you this right now. If I asked MJF directly and it was a work, he would just lie.
Right.
So... like, right. Sure. That's the difficult thing.
That is the difficult
and
thing.
That's also why he's very good at what he does. So
right.
There you go. I thought they did great here. And this is one of those unique feuds that can be built in absence. The longer that Daniel Garcia was away, the more we were like, as we were reporting on FightfulSelect.com about his contract, is this dude just not going to show up till his contract's up or what?
Right. Like, right. Yeah.
We got the conglomeration interview and the Roddy and Learning Tree interview. This Roddy and Learning Tree interview sucked.
Yeah.
Didn't like it at all. No. Didn't like the high guys. Didn't like the... It was actually because of all that I taught him and then Roddy leaning into his still shouting a name thing.
Oh, man. He hasn't done that in a long time. It was kind of weird that they brought it out again.
Roddy is better than that. It wasn't good. That's it.
No.
Go ahead.
The thing, like, this is even a thing about Jericho for me. This is a thing about, like, Jericho started this thing with Hook in February, took the title from him, I don't know, like, in April or March? I don't know where he took the title from him. And has been locked in this feud with Hook and Hook's friends for months, been talking about how he's the world champion forever and all this stuff. He lost the title back to Hook, and the first time we see him after the big loss, he's like, this doesn't matter. Well, then why'd you do the story for that long? If it's not going to change Chris Jericho in some way, if he's not going to be at least pissed about it, then, like, there's no change for that character. When you tell a story, the characters should change. Otherwise, there's no reason to tell the story. I honestly, the only thing about it that made any sense by the end of the match that we did is basically we saw Roddy Strong and Chris Jericho trading scene partners in that little interview. It was like, hey, you know, I like you, Chris Jericho. I wonder if you could help Kyle O'Reilly get the hell away from Orange Cassidy. And like, and Jericho's like, yes, let's go beat up Hook. And by the end of the match, they basically switched the people they were feuding with, which I guess is some kind of progress. And yeah, I'm excited about Roddy Strong versus Hook matches. But like, yeah, this is something, I suppose.
Yeah. And I will say I liked Willow's line about how she wanted to kick Tushy.
Yes.
So the Willow and Statlander Chicago street fight is happening, no longer for the CMLL World Women's title, which... Okay. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Conglomeration and Hook defeat Roddy Strong and the Learning Tree, even though Roddy had, I don't know if his foot was on the ropes. I think it broke the plane.
It was underneath the ropes, and I'm sure they'll talk about it. Like, they made a big deal about it on commentary.
There's a surprising number of people that I saw online. They don't realize, like, that is under the ropes is breaking the plane of the ring.
Right.
Technically, being under the rope is being outside the ring. Listen, all due respect to these performers. I wasn't invested in this match.
No.
I didn't. It's clear they're moving Hook on to Roddy and Undisputed Kingdom. And I have been saying, I would rather Learning Tree be involved in like a trios or something like that. And it seems like they're going that direction with conglomeration stuff, which in comparison, I'm all for.
Right. Here's the other thing. Big Bill is a star. You have to get him into his, like, make it, let him be a star. Because he's a big, handsome dude who can work. He's got charisma for days. He should not be the second fiddle to a Jericho dead end gimmick. That guy's got world champion potential. I'm telling you. Like the comparison I made to him for him when we were talking about the All In thing on Fightful Select is he's as close as like peak Kevin Nash in WCW. Where, like, he's just got all of this charisma. He's a huge star. He's funny. He can do really fun stuff. Like, he's a better worker than Nash was at that time. But, like, he's better in that way. But, like, his big boots, the stuff what he was doing on the Collision match with Hook, where he was, like, doing a Hook impression and the crowd was eating it up. They love Big Bill for a reason because they see he's friggin' talented. My one thing about all of this is that let's get Big Bill as far away from the Jericho Vortex as possible to get him his own stuff. He's really, really, really good at this.
Yeah, I will say that I did have people that told me that Jericho did work to like help Hook and teach him a lot of stuff during this feud. But it's the end of August. We can also permanently end this feud. We have caught and compromised to a permanent end this feud. Roderick Strong had said something like, I'm happy to just be in the Jericho Vortex, even if for one night. I'm like, that ain't the way it happens, buddy.
No,
that ain't the way it happens.
It
just doesn't happen that way. Mercedes has her promo interrupted by Private Party. I saw a girl who's sort of local here, Ari Alexander, in the backstage for that as well. But Private Party, a little bit rude, bringing up, oh, Mercedes, I know you're single. That red dress would look a lot better on top of me. And then Okada shows up and teaches her how to say bye, bitch, in Japanese, which is sayonara, bitch. I like Okada having a crush on Mercedes. Like, that is...
That's fine. Yeah.
That's clever. I like them taking things out of the typical settings. AEW has long needed to do that. But harmless stuff. I wonder where it goes with Private Party, though, because I could...
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. if he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Marino take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMe People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
See one of them wrestling like Okada on Rampage or Collision or something as well.
I mean, we'll talk about this, I'm assuming. I feel like we're probably doing a GYV FTR thing for a bit, yeah, to start. Maybe GYV Acclaimed in there as well. I mean, I've been wanting the Bucks to use this title reign to have matches against and eventually put over a young team that's never been champion. Maybe this is the beginning of Private Party interacting with the Elite via Okada that gets them noticed by the Bucks, gets them into a feud with the Bucks. Private Party versus the Private Party upset the Young Bucks in that inaugural tag team tournament. There's something they can do there where it's like this we have one over on you guys, and goad the Young Bucks into giving them a title shot. Private Party, I don't know if they win it, but at least getting a program with Private Party and Young Bucks could be really good.
Also, Okada saying dream come true while he does the CEO dance with Mercedes. He is such a great American TV wrestler.
I had no idea that dude was going to morph into the best deadpan comedian in all of wrestling. Yeah. That moment where he hugged Orange Cassidy with big fake tears in his eyes, then turned to the camera and just his face dropped. That was so good, man.
Tom LaValle says Garcia's aim with the mic was flawless. Yes, it was.
Oh,
it was.
Yes, he threw that thing hard and true.
Yeah, he did. Tim McFall says, Sean, any word on Danny's contract? TK made me think he may have re-signed or is close to it during the All-In presser. TK needs to get it done ASAP. I do not have insight on that. I am asking constantly. I know he wasn't exactly thrilled that the report got out there the day that it did, but still working to find that out, and he should get a new deal. He should get paid, and I think he should be a fixture at the top of the AEW card for years to come.
I mean, if it wasn't an imminent signing, just have him be taken off TV forever by MJF. You know what I mean? Like, I think you get him signed, then you do this amazing program, but you want to keep the, like, I don't even know if he's even supposed to be here type of stuff. You know, you can figure out a way to make that even more compelling.
Ryan sends a very generous super chat and says, Sean Abu of WrestlePurist talked about the Ricky Starks situation, said Ricky is frustrated by his lack of direction, and AEW thinks he no longer wants to be there and is riding his deal out. Do you agree? I think there's quite a bit of time left on that deal, as best I know. Yeah. But I would not allow for a situation where a deal is just written out if I've got a star the caliber of Ricky Starks. He'd be doing something.
I mean, if he's got more than 6 months on that deal, like figure out something that like you can do with him for five out of those 6 months at least.
There is no reason for so many very talented wrestlers to be just not doing anything for 6 months to a year at a time.
I mean,
even if they're difficult to deal with, say, as best you can, tough shit, come to work. I'm not saying that's what's going on with him.
Right, right.
Other people, it certainly has been that way in the past.
Right, yeah. There's no excuse for that guy not to be on TV. He's gold. He's so good in the ring, on the mic, as a character. He should be doing something. Like if they're not presenting him with anything, that's horrible. If they're presenting him with stuff and he's like, I don't want to do that, well, that's a different story. And I respect somebody who says, I don't think that's a good direction for my character to go. I mean, if he's actually being true to it, or if he's just saying, you know what, I don't want to work here anymore. Well, then, yes, you're not allowed to leave. if you're just going to try and sandbag the whole thing. There's really weird stuff here going on. I don't know what the truth of it is, and whatever the truth is, that's going to change my thought about it. But my thing is, this dude should be on TV. Whether it's them not putting him on TV or him not wanting to come to work, figure it out and make him a big star, because he should be.
I agree. You got to use him in some capacity. Got to use him in some capacity. I'll tell you what capacity to use NordVPN.
There's no sponsor that I use more while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. Man, this is like the Swiss Army knife, the multi-tool of applications. It does a little bit of everything. You always get a great deal at NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can listen to your favorites abroad. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on public Wi-Fi, and it works on all your devices and operating systems. It doesn't end there. Change your virtual location and then get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price, TV services at a much more affordable price. You got a password manager, a file encryption tool, threat protections, and on top of that, 24/7 tech support. So if for some reason you don't know exactly how it works, NordVPN.com/Fightful will help you learn how to do it. Check it out, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Made me so happy to see a bunch of you reaching out to me, whether it be on Discord, Twitter, about getting NordVPN for these shows this past weekend and All Out. Mariah May celebration, timeline's in shambles. She says she's not going to do her celebration there, in which she told us at Fightful via Shirley that it would be with two belts and no bikini. Technically, that's what she did tonight. Maybe not two belts, but she didn't have a bikini.
No, she had lingerie. Yep.
That's pretty much that segment. Grizzled Young Vets promo. They'll face the Outrunners on Rampage. That's great. I love the Outrunners. Off, man.
Yeah.
Love the Outrunners. They were interrupted by the Young Bucks, and they're like, hey, we don't like you, by the way. Just so you all know, we don't like FTR, we don't like the Acclaim, but we also don't like you.
Yeah. Yeah. GYV is exactly what this tag division needs, a fresh injection of amazing tag team wrestling. There's so many cool people that pairings they could do, really fun stuff. For years, GYV FTR was my dream tag match. That would be, at the time I had the dream, it would have been GYV versus The Revival. But like, that's how long I've been wanting to see those dudes lock up. So if that's where we're going with this, if it's going to be let's do a best of three between those two teams, or a best of five, or a best of seven, or a best of 77. I want to watch FTR and GYV lock up and do amazing tag team wrestling, please.
Like, I forget that their name was The Revival. Like, on Monday, on the post-Raw show,
yeah,
I said Bo Dallas's last singles match was against Scott Dawson. And when I read it, I go, who is Scott Dawson?
Who the hell is Scott Dawson?
That's what I thought. I was like, what the hell? We had the Takeshita G1 Climax recap. We'll face Mortos, Commander Leo Rush on Rampage. I'm just glad Takeshita's coming back. He needs to be propelled.
That Fatal 4-Way is going to be appointment viewing. Yeah, it is. I don't care if it's taped on Rampage. You got to find that and watch that.
Leo Rush, I'm just so happy. I love the Leo Rush Satnam Singh spot on All In. I thought that was so funny. This is the run I've been waiting for Leo Rush to have. I mean, I know he's had a lot of hurdles, both physically and, you know, in his personal life. I am so glad to see this as well.
Yeah.
And Takeshita being back, push him all the way up. Mm-hmm. Ricochet. Video package, and then he defeated Kyle Fletcher. Kyle Fletcher, another guy headed all the way up. Mm-hmm. So right now, that future's looking good. Like, you see them. You see it, Takeshita. Yeah. You see it with Kyle Fletcher. You see it with Daniel Garcia. Ricky Starks is there. Try to keep him there.
Yep.
And this is, these are four guys that you look at and you go, they should be main event guys. Ricochet defeated Kyle Fletcher. Really hard fought match. Ricochet just looks like he's having as fun as possible. And he says the quiet part out loud. I've been waiting to show you the real Ricochet for a long time, and I'm really excited that I get to do it now.
Yes.
This was fantastic.
This was fantastic. Kyle Fletcher, again, only 25, will be among the absolute very best in the world in only a few short years. I think he'll be that well before he's 30, which is crazy to think of. Ricochet getting to show what he can really do. He's going to get into some fun stuff here with some cool dance partners. Something that I'm just straight up, as a thing, like as a thought experiment, what it makes you feel for me, the thing that I came up with in my head. I'm sure everybody else has had this idea as well. Finals of the C2 this year. Ricochet versus Konosuke Takeshita. That's what I want. I want those two guys to fight it out to win that tournament, which means they will have had amazing matches on either side of the bracket. And let's just do that for me. Tony Khan, just for me. You can do that one for me. This was amazing. I personally loved Don Callis referring to the crowd as rubes. That is one from the SGS. It's good. Don Callis, thank you for watching. This was really, really excellent. But honestly, what happened after the match is so just the cherry on top was so damn sweet.
Will Ospreay comes out. I'll say it. The champagne crowd sucked for this because I was expecting this to get a great reaction.
Yeah, they were.
And
bad.
You could tell that really Ospreay was walking out slowly to garner that. But this crowd just
bad like, crowd. That crowd. Yeah.
But it kind of didn't get wasted because before we get that, Pat comes out and hits a poison Rana and he's like, stop forgetting about me. Stop overlooking me. By the way, welcome to AEW Ricochet. That is exactly what Pac should have done. Pac has been overlooked for like a month.
Yeah, longer than that, I think. Like, but his thing. Yeah. When Ospreay came out, I was like, "Wow, they're doing this already." I thought that we'd like build. I thought this might be like the full year match, and it might eventually. But they're teasing it already. But I was like, I don't know if I like Ospreay coming out and doing the Ricochet thing. He's got a match versus Pac. Shouldn't his attention be on Pac? And then all of a sudden, Poison Ron out of nowhere, which was amazing. He says. Billy boy, you've got to stop forgetting about me. Then he says to Ricochet, welcome to AEW. Now you can get in line with the rest of the riffraff because he's mine. Listen, Pac, when he's doing stuff like this, is one of my favorite characters in wrestling history. So when he was the bastard as Neville in the cruiserweight division, that whole run, 2017 was some of the most compelling TV I'd ever seen. I'm so excited they're finally putting him on this kind of level. That match at All Out is going to be one of the greatest matches of the year between him and Ospreay. And I love that they're insinuating some Pac versus Ricochet matches because we didn't get a lot of those, I don't think, when they were both under the WWE umbrella. And eventually, obviously, we're going to get to Ricochet and Ospreay, but we can wait for that. We can wait for that. There's a lot of other things we can do before we get to that point.
Jordan Scott says Takeshita and Kyle really should get huge pushes going into the Australia Grand Slam and Wrestle Dynasty. Make them legit future stars. Yes, they should. Like, listen, you don't see Kyle Fletcher on Dynamite unless he's losing on Dynamite. That's usually the way that it goes. And I don't think it can be that because it's the only reason you'd see Brian Cage for a long time. Yeah. As impressive as he looks and wrestles, it's all you'd see, and people are conditioned. C. Delgado says, Mariah was right. That crowd was warm pissed tonight. Was. Brian Danielson comes out, and he swerves our asses. But first, he says that this weekend was the greatest moment of his career, his favorite moment of his career, of which I saw multiple people this weekend saying, nuh-uh. No, it wasn't, even though he said it. But he said it was also the greatest day of his daughter's life. But that was probably because she went on a double-decker Peppa Pig tour that day as well. He then swerves because, you know, we're all wondering, like, what's he going to do? FightfulSelect.com had reported, yes, he is without contract. He told FightfulSelect.com he didn't want to sign a new one. He wants to contribute after he gets his neck taken care of, which he believes will be surgery. And that he legitimately had not been cleared for much since the Owen Hart Foundation tournament. Yeah. They said, you can wrestle Jeff Jarrett. You ain't doing blood and guts, buddy. Yeah. He was planned for it. However, he swerved and said, I am not vacating this championship. I am not retiring as champion. I will retire from full-time wrestling when I lose this, but that ain't happening anytime soon. Before we get to what happened, what happened after, what did you think of this promo? Because even though, like, kind of in my brain, I knew, I was like, God, I hope they don't vacate the title. Like, that would suck.
No, that would suck. And I mean, if that is what the doctors are telling him, that you can't wrestle anymore and you are champion, then he's got to vacate it. And that would suck. I don't know how many matches he's got left before, like, neck surgery becomes, like, not a thing I got to have sometime, but, like, you got to have that right now. So I want him to be safe. And I want his family to get their dad and husband back as good as possible for whatever. But I also thought they were going to go this route, and I like it a lot. As soon as I lose this, I'm retiring from full-time wrestling. I like that he said full-time, because you know you can't keep that guy away from a ring for too long.
Of course.
But I love the idea of I will retire. Basically, when I lose this, which means now there's a ticking clock. And now who retires Brian? Who retires Brian Danielson? Where? When? Wrestle Dream is a big thing in his home state. Like, maybe they do it that soon. But also he says, I want to be a fighting champion. I want to defend this as much as I possibly can. So we knew he was going to do the thing at All Out before he even said it. But I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel exactly about this particular direction, but we know he's got a defense at Grand Slam, and we know he's got a defense at All Out.
So he effectively makes an open challenge, and it is answered by Jack Perry. Now, I'll say this. He's going to get an insane reaction in Chicago.
That's the place to do this, for sure.
Yeah, Alejandro Reyes says, Jack's a waste for the title, and Brian only there for Chicago. Yeah, and BC Aron says, personally not interested in a Perry main event of All Out, if that's the actual plan. Hell, give Uno the next person in the gauntlet instead. Or, if you want me to be serious, take someone like Takeshita coming out of the G1. I do wish they'd do a thing that's like a battle royal or something where it's all the people who didn't get revealed for the gauntlet. And maybe they can compete for like a TNT title shot or a Continental title shot. Yeah. I like Jack Perry as a performer, but there's a number of reasons why. First off, I don't like the idea of a champion just losing to it. What that tells me is that you have so many title belts that you can afford to do this,
right?
And that's where they've been. Listen, Jack Perry's forever gonna get polarizing stuff. People think he's not enough. People think that you know they'll hate him because of the Punk stuff, and that's okay. They can think those things, but he is gonna like forever have a bunch of people that aren't gonna like him no matter how good anything that he does is. The All-In match, you know, was really rushed. I don't think that did them any favors because, as FightfulSelect.com reported, they had to chop time off of it. But Chi-Town Spurs does say, as someone who's seen Jack Perry in Chicago before, can't wait to see it again. The atmosphere should be electric. It will be electric. Are there any positive takeaways from this?
Oh, I mean, listen, I wanted them to make Perry look really strong in his match versus Darby. I think that honestly, them chopping the time off made him look even stronger.
Probably.
Because they got to the point where he was like, all right, well, I beat the hell out of you. I'm going to tie your legs together, tape
your
wrists
together. It was a squash,
effectively. Knock you off this 15-foot platform through a table, put your ass in a body bag, drag you to the coffin, knee you in the skull, and close the door on you. Like, at that point, from the rest of the thing, from the time where he started belting his legs together, that was it. The match was over. It was as dominant as I've ever seen Jack Perry, which I think was really good for him because people were like, "No, really, Jack Perry? I don't know." But like that made him look more dominant, which he needed. And so him feeling like, no, I beat the hell out of Darby. He never lost a coffin match. I beat him. I beat the hell out of him. Close the coffin on him. I'm the top guy. I'm the future. I deserve this. I'm coming for it. And there's no reason why he wouldn't want to do that. The main event, whether it's put on the card, the main event of All Out is Swerve versus Hangman.
It gotta be.
So this is a really good way of doing it's not a title for title, but it's a champion versus champion match. It's Danielson's first defense as champion. Jack Perry's coming off a major dominant win at All In. That's a big match to do. Yeah. Whoever they put in front of Danielson is losing it All Out. Jack Perry, because of what happened at All In, can survive this loss and move forward with his reign as TNT champion. I don't want Takeshita to get this spot now, because you should be building him off of the G1, not having him take losses. He shouldn't take a loss until, I don't know, November. Like, be building Takeshita in a really big way. Don't have him take losses. Have him be dominant.
We got Chi-Town Spurs saying, kind of tired of the revisionist history for Perry. He always delivers on pay-per-view. People are mad at him because of the Punk stuff. It's so transparent. When there are people that are mad at him over the Punk stuff, it does become pretty transparent. But, mm-hmm. I mean, listen, regardless of that, not everybody needs to like any performer for sure. But, he's always going to have that. That's always going to be a thing. Dante says, don't want them to wait on this, but I really hope we're getting Nigel and Danielson at Wrestle Dream. They really shouldn't wait on that. I think that's a great idea for a match there. And Irene says, already wondering who will be the chosen one that retires full-time Danielson, perhaps Nigel McGuinness, maybe a returning Kenny Omega. So here's the interesting thing. He said that he'll be done full-time once he loses the title. I don't know if that means that he'll immediately go away or if he'll have another match. Because obviously, Nigel's not going to win the world title. But if they wanted to do a thing where Nigel faced Danielson, Mike, well, first of all, he got a great reaction in part because it was UK, but looked unbelievable.
Man, Nigel versus Danielson is some of the longest term storytelling there's been. He's been just talking nonstop shit about Danielson on commentary every time he's out there. Like, if Nigel were to like cost Danielson the title, and then the last match Danielson has after losing the title before he goes away is versus Nigel, and they have a really great thing, it would be kind of fun. I don't know, maybe I'm the only person who wants this, but if by the end they came to a mutual respect by the end of that match, if Nigel and Danielson, like whoever won, like raise each other's arms and hug it out in the middle of the ring, kind of bury the hatchet, or, you know, bury the clam, as it were.
Tom LaValle says, have Takeshita retire Danielson. Why the F not? Listen, I would be there for that. I think Takeshita needs to emerge as a top guy. Meet Norma says, Dynamite was great despite the crowd being two packs of ass. Rampage is going to hump. TV deal is imminent. AEW is cooking right now. Listen, I don't know what imminent is. I just know that one's in the hands of AEW. Fightful Select reported it, but yeah, man, just they got to stick to what they do and do strong. N. Simmons says Ricochet Kyle was fun, and it looked like they held back. Big point for me was he used the vertigo, which I wanted him to use for years, made me think they wouldn't let him. Was there anything that stood out, like in-ring, about Ricochet, these first two appearances to you?
I love the way he moves when he doesn't have, you know, any kind of like restraints on him. He's so good. But also, you can tell he's doing amazing stuff here with Fletcher. He's such a, also so good at selling. He made Fletcher look like $1 trillion here. But this is not him at full gear. No pun intended. This is not him as fast, as great as he can possibly be. He's saving some stuff up for when he faces Ospreay.
And yeah, admittedly, you know, I listened to some of the people that said, well, there's a lot of people in AEW that can do what Ricochet does. And I go, you know what? Even though Ricochet was able to do more at the end of his WWE run, we never quite saw him what he did before. And he will be 36 soon. And I said, you know what? Maybe you're right. That was erased at All In. And then I've talked to this guy. I talked to him this year. Like, pound for pound, he's one of the strongest guys in wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, and he is working with smaller wrestlers in AEW well. There are going to be a lot of feats of strength, especially when Ricochet gets that old man strength beyond the already freakish strength that he has.
Yes.
That will shine through. But yeah, that talking point has been erased for me. Jordan Scott says Perry does have big victories over both contenders now, Christian and Darby. So I can see why he called his shot.
Sure.
I'll say this as well. AEW is getting really good about loading up someone who already has a shot, like whether it be Pac, whether it be Darby, whether it be Christian, like giving you like who's going to pop up at what point.
Yep.
Well, guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. Please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. And of course, keep it locked to YouTube. Interviews with Maven, Nick Nemeth, Jade Cargill, David Finley. I think I'll have Bobby Stevenson, Damon Kemp, one of his first interviews as well. We got another super chat real quick. Irene says, what up-and-coming talent could believably retire full-time Danielson? At the moment, I say Ospreay, Takeshita, or MJF. Listen, Takeshita would be one, and also if Ospreay did it with the Tiger Driver.
I mean, yeah. Here's the thing. Ospreay's made. He's already a made dude. MJF's a made dude. Takeshita, that's something that only one guy gets to take, just to take him out. And like, if that is the thing that then builds, so everybody who watches him wrestle knows he's a future world champion. Like, but only one guy gets to retire Bryan Danielson. I think it should be like Daniel Garcia, because they have a lot of history there going back. Like when Danielson spit on him and said why he spit on him was because I offered to make him my son and he turned it down. Like, you could do a great story about Daniel Garcia retiring Bryan Danielson.
No, I've got the perfect person. Big signing. Somebody with tons of history with Bryan Danielson. Needs a win because they haven't won in a long time.
Okay.
And one of the greatest in the world, the person that brought Bryan Danielson back to wrestling, Shane McMahon.
You're right. It should be him.
And Simmons says, I think from a story, it's probably Mox. He loses the title to, there's a lot to call back from, like with Bryan beating Mox and Pac being aligned with BCC. Listen, if they want to get Mox over as a major heel, that could do it.
That's a way to do it.
Alex, tell the people when they or where they can find you.
You can find me at Alex Sour Graps on Twitter, over on Fightful Select, reviewing SmackDown while talking about Rampage. This weekend, we got two shows on Sour Graps. We got one after Bash in Berlin on Fightful Select, and one on this year's channel after NXT No Mercy. Then, also, right back at it with Raw on Monday on Fightful Select and NXT, the weekly show, on Tuesday. Always a fun time.
We had a Humper chat that got missed. It says the Page Swerve face-to-face tonight gave me Rock Austin rivalry vibes. Like, the aura was just on different levels. I agree. They always bring that, and they make me want to see them fight. And that isn't always easy when it's somebody I've seen fight a lot. James Stalling says Ricochet living his best life, having fun, and he has Samantha. Samantha is amazing, by the way. She is amazing. Wonderfully kind woman. I'll tell you, I don't think they'd be mad since they shared it with me. I sat in front of Ricochet's family at it was a Lexington show, And well, you could, first off, you could tell it was his family. His brother looks exactly like him.
Yeah. Wow.
But Ricochet's father, like, just leaned over and tapped me on the shoulder. And he's like, "That's my daughter over there." And that was like so heartwarming.
Yeah.
Just like to see him, like they were so excited to watch Samantha. And it was just so cool. And yeah, just really, really great. Guys, thank you all so much. Until next time, we're out.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for Black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save. Like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One Black man sued for being told, "You Black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.